And we welcome you in here to the King's Cast on the Hoopball Podcast Network and here live on YouTube and Twitch and Periscope as well for the ESPN 1320 accounts. I'm Damian Barling along with your host, Jill Adge. And Jill, what an eventful day it has been. What a frustrating day it has been. What a frustrating, just frustrating.
14 years.
Jill. It's just frustrating, dude. Like Kenny and I were about to come to blows earlier today on the radio just because we're so agitated. He's pissed off at the roster. I'm angry at the coaching staff. And it's like, man, you have a game that was a mirror image of the first two times that Charlotte and Sacramento played. And I know we've been away for a little bit, and that's my fault. My schedule's gotten a little bit busy. And Jill celebrated a birthday, by the way. So happy belated birthday to Jill. Just turned 21 years old. We are thrilled for her. And Kings ain't doing nothing to celebrate your birthday here. Kings ain't doing nothing to help us out.
I said they gave me a present by not playing on my birthday because I think the last time they won on my birthday was like 2012. So it was I didn't have to go through a birthday loss. Dude. And last year my dad and I were going to go. They were either playing right on it or the day before. I think it was actually the last home game. And I was like, and that was when everything was kind of starting. And I was like, Dad, it's not worth us going and you going to go see a loss. It's not worth it. We're not doing this.
No,
we're not doing this.
No.
So they gave me a present by not playing. So,
well, that's good. So, thank you to the Kings for that. Let's dive into this because we wanted to go live again. We're, for those of you who are listening to the audio portion, if you ever want to see the video portion, subscribe to the ESPN 1320 YouTube channel. If you're into Twitch, search ESPN 1320. We're there on twitch.tv/ESPN1320. But we decided to go live because we knew a lot of people would want to jump in and they have their remarks. And my man Melvin jumped in here. This is the first thing I thought about because in addition to, the loss, there was an injury. There was basically injury to insult in that, Marvin Bagley, breaks essentially his ring finger. And we know he's going to miss some time. We don't know how much yet. We did a little bit of research and saw. I think you said I found that there had been four other guys this has happened to. They're all big. It's for
the front. And that's my thing is all the injuries he's had, they've been fluke, but they've been common big man injuries. These guys, I look at it as they're in scrums, right, throughout the whole game. Like if you're playing rugby or something else, which is why you see the hand, the foot, because of where they land, the shoulders, because they're constantly getting hit and bumped. Those are the common injuries you see in big men. And the fact that this year, right, four or five guys have had the same exact injury, all big men, it sucks. But some guys just have bad luck that way. I was talking to Trevor earlier, and he was bringing up the Giants and Brandon Belt. He's the guy where last year he had COVID, mono, and something else. But through his career, he's the guy that's coming back from mono, and then his first at bat, he gets hit by a pitch in the hand. That's just that guy's luck, right? Some guys just have horrible luck that way, and that unfortunately seems to be what Marvin's going through. I mean, and it sucks for him. It sucks for fans. It's not like the guy's not putting in the effort. And that's one of the things is, I mean, we've seen big men come in here and be healthy and not putting in the effort. This kid is putting in the work and the effort and playing hard. And unfortunately, as bigs do, which is why a lot of people don't invest a lot of money and big draft picks in big men is for this reason. Sadly, it's a wing, a wing and guard kind of dominated game right now. And when you have such high hopes, but a lot of, what people see the future, of the Kings and what they've invested in this, that's a lot on a big man that big men are injured in this game. And you're seeing DeMarcus now, he was healthy for a long time. And then all of a sudden, after he had one, it's been one thing after another, right? Clint Capella is consistently out with different foot injuries. Like, mm-hmm. it's, I mean, Willie had his times where he even said that he stopped going as hard on the rim after he had fluke, you know, hand injuries, constantly battling, you know, around the rim area. It's just, it's one of those unfortunate things, but there's nothing he could have done different, right? That would have prevented anything.
And that's the thing where people, you know, get into the injury prone thing, or they get it. Oh, he's Sam Bowie. Like, we got that a ton today on ESPN 1320. And it's like, well, no, like these feel different. And I know that they're frustrating, and I'm not trying to minimize anybody who's frustrated with the situation with Marvin Bagley. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say no one is more frustrated than Marvin Bagley himself. But these don't feel like, this doesn't feel like, remember when Derrick Rose came back from the first ACL? It was just a sea of things that went wrong after that. This doesn't feel like that to me. Like, this is,
and it's again, been a different piece of his, right? Like, a different piece each time, and all, like someone mentioned in here too, like it was on a screen and a block attempt. Like, what? I mean.
And you go back to the one against Phoenix, like it was basically the same injury, right? Like, what was it, a fracture? Wasn't it a fracture in his hand?
I think it was Ayton, like, swiping down, or he hit or did something. I mean, what are you going to do when a guy swipes at you? Like, I mean, yeah.
And to me, that doesn't feel the same as, like, soft tissue damage. That doesn't feel the same.
They're not
as, like,
non-contact injuries, right? Like you mentioned, they're impact injuries of other people hitting this guy. Like, it's not, he took a bad step, or he, you know, it's, yes.
And and again, I understand that doesn't make it any more easy to digest. Like, it's still frustrating. But what we know is, we don't know specifically how long Marvin is going to be out. We may find out tomorrow. The press release was pretty clear that, well, you know, they're going to do some more examining, and we should have a timetable in the next couple of days. Of course, there was no media availability today for the Sacramento Kings. The Kings will play again tomorrow against the Washington Wizards, the two worst defensive teams in the entire league. Barely, like, they're neck and neck here for that running in terms of who's going to get that honor. But who's going to start now? And I'm looking, you know, one of the first comments we got in here when we went live, my man Melvin Hawkins says it's time for Tyrese to shine. And I was like, yeah, okay. You know, and then I look at the very next comment, and it's from Sean, who says, and this became almost a head shaking thing today, where it's like, you know what? Watch Corey Joseph be the starter and not Tyrese Halliburton. So the Kings are just they're lacking big men. You know, I don't think anybody thinks Nemanja Bjelica is going to be on the roster a week from Friday. Even if he's not traded, I don't think he's going to be on the roster a week from Friday.
I don't see how they. I'm curious if he's going to. In a normal season, I would think you would be buying these guys out. All we hear is how this ownership group is bleeding money. And I know Kenny's mentioned this too on the thing, is why they're not just cutting all these guys and signing all these. This is the first time they've had a roster spot open, right? They've had injuries other than that, where they had to bring in a big man on a 10-day right after they had the injury. They might end up having to do this again. So, and you have to get a sign off on ownership that they're willing to pay these guys to go away. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a bunch of $6 million guys right now sitting on their bench that are not, that have been kept around because you were hoping, I'm not even hoping. All we were told this offseason was that, oh, it's so easy to trade these guys. There's going to be plenty of, you know, of teams looking at this. And you might have heard that a couple weeks ago, and maybe it'll end up happening. But everything right now coming from reporters are, nobody even wants to give up a second round draft pick because they're all going to wait for the buyout market. So what everyone was told, it was going to be so easy that these guys were going to be, you know, have so much value and you could ship them off. Although Belly is the one guy consistently we've heard where maybe you can get a second round draft pick. Like, he's the only one really at this point that I've seen of the buyouts that you might be able to get a second round draft pick. The Lakers, you've heard Whiteside attached to them, but again, mm-hmm. you're seeing them talking about waiting to see if Drummond ends up being, you know, on a buyout. Right. So I don't see them. They're not going to be giving up anything. So again, we could have three guys bought out right? You could, maybe you could see a Jabari, maybe you could see a Belly, maybe you could see a Whiteside buyout. But again, you still have to have ownership saying, we're willing to pay these guys to go away, when all we're reading about is how they're bleeding money, right? Mm-hmm. Granted, understandably, you know, like everybody else is at this point, but will they do that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know. Or will they just say, you're going to sit there for the rest of the year? You want to have good relationships with players. And I think not buying out these guys and giving them a chance, that could end up hurting you. But again, I don't know.
And that's the thing with Nemanja that really pisses me off. Like, it was like whatever with Belly until the article with Sam and Jason was written about how he refused to play for what, like a month and a half or whatever it was. Like, we kept being told it was personal issues.
Three different stories regarding that. That's what was so weird to me, is we've heard three different versions of him and front office met and agreed mm-hmm. that it would be best for him to sit and them to find a trade partner. We heard from Sam that he refused to play. And then we also heard that, he had personal issues, so he was going to be out.
There's one truth. That's the frustrating part, is you can sniff out a lie when you get like five different stories. Like, so ultimately, what is it? Did he refuse to play? Like, what exactly is happening here? And that's the thing with Belly that like frustrates me, is like, who the hell is Nemanja Bjelica? Like, you refuse to play? Like, you.
This is what was weird to me, is he's come off the bench before. So like when he first came, there was a whole thing about him and Bagley, and then he ended up coming off the bench, and you didn't hear anything about him being upset. Maybe he was, and we never heard about it. This is where I just thought it was weird that we've never heard this from him previously. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was kind of strange. If it's true, he deserves to get roasted for that endlessly. I just thought it was really weird that we hadn't ever actually heard that about him before, and all of a sudden it was like thrown out there. It was just really weird.
I had a lot of issues with that initial article that was written, but we've addressed some of them with Jason Jones and talked about some of them. Just some of them felt like the thing about Bagley and Bagley, you know, being the Kings are shopping him, but you know the value is low. Right. It's like, okay, wait a minute. What are
people calling on him, or like, are they shopping?
Are we,
right.
In the important, you know, talking about rival executives have told me, it's like, okay, what exactly is this? Like, what are
they
talking
told you
about
that
here?
They called?
Yeah, like, and so, you know, before we you know, veered too far off, like, what do you think happens in that starting position? Like, my man Murph here is in the chat, and he says, you know, they're going to go small with Hallie, Buddy, Barnes, which I think is what a lot of people are going to do, but you're going to lose Tyrese on the bench. Or is it at least for a week, or, you know, a week and some change, probably maybe four games? Is it Nemanja? Is it Belly in the starting lineup?
Based on history, I would assume yes. Although,
yes, it's Belly.
Yes, but ugh. I still think they should move. Based on history, and he has not put Hallie in the starting lineup before, I think it should be Fox, Hallie, Heald, Barnes, small. And Holmes.
Yeah.
I get he wants to spread out whatever. Honestly, I really don't. The bench is so bad and we're losing.
Right.
I'd rather see the team that's the guys you're moving forward with get as many minutes together as you can. Not worried about spreading them out or our benching being so bad. Because even when you're holding these guys on the bench, it's not making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see what we have going forward with this set of guys and give the second rounders the bench. At this point, like, I really don't care.
And I think we're getting closer to that. I think we're probably a week and a half away from that, because I'm going to keep referring to the trade deadline. I think we're still a little bit away from that. But we are going to see Woodard. Like, Woodard was upgraded today.
Yeah.
He was upgraded to questionable, as was Hassan Whiteside, who had – I think the longest health and safety protocol situation in history for a guy who's like literally been sitting on the bench. So
And all of us, and like, yes, thank you in here, Sean. It was somehow Daquan is now in the doghouse for no particular, like, if you're really worried about, you know, spreading these guys out, Jeffries would be playing. And to me, this is the weird thing. Nobody else gets held accountable, but all of a sudden Jeffries is somehow getting some sort of accountability that we have no idea about.
But he's
there is no reason that that kid's not playing. No,
but held it, accountable for what? Like
that's what I'm saying. Something we don't know about. I don't know what other reason Luke there would be for that guy not playing.
like Luke, like, and that's the thing, like that really, again, if you miss D'Lo and KC today, Kenny is the hell with the roster. I'm the hell with Luke Walton. Like, we couldn't even meet in the middle. We were just got to the point where we were just almost angry at each other having this conversation. And I just keep looking at, like, does Luke hold people accountable? Like, who does Luke? I listen to Luke here. I have this. I'll play this for you.
What's frustrating is even the minutes that Jeffries is getting, the defensive rating with him on and off of the minutes he's getting, it's Harrison Barnes like difference in this stuff. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it either.
I don't either. This is Luke Walton following the game against Charlotte. This is Luke Walton following the game last night. Here's everything that he said.
Tough loss. Proud of the guys. Really proud of the guys that, you know, put us in a position to win a road game against a team that's very hot right now. A team that's, you know, got a lot of weapons. And, you know, to me, again, that 64% from the free throw line really hurts. That's something that, as we learn to win, like, that it, we got to knock down free throws. And then I thought we got a lot of good looks down the stretch. We just, you know, I know I play our guys heavy minutes, whether it's tired legs or we're just, you know, we got to find that confidence again down the stretch. That's something that we have to get better with. But it's great to be in these opportunities, especially with Tyrese back out there playing big late minutes. And I thought De'Aaron did a great job again of really, you know, just putting us on his back at different times and getting to where he wanted to. Rashawn was great. I mean, 41 minutes.
Okay, that's kind of the same part I got angry with earlier. Like, everything is good.
I feel like I was listening to the bubble press conference.
Well, everything's good.
Like, we're just so happy to be in these positions.
We're going to get better.
Because
like,
for the last 3 years, we've been, like, the last 3 years with these same players, we've been saying they need to be in these positions to learn how to win. 3 years later, we're still in the same, we're still hearing the same thing of these players just need to be putting in these positions and eventually a light bulb will go off and we won't be chucking threes with under a minute left and 20 seconds left in the shot clock.
I know that oh my God, that Buddy Hield play is one of the because
they
most...
just need to be put in these positions for how many more games? How many more?
I just, like, this team, they're not getting better. This team isn't getting better. That's the infuriating part. That's the frustrating part. You hear Luke talk about, oh, we're going to learn to win games. We're going to hit free throw. Like, when? Let me know. Like, when can I tune in? Like, let me know when this is going to happen. Let me know when we're going to start hitting free throws and start winning games. Hitting free throws doesn't even.
Be patient for it.
Man, oh, for goodness sakes, Jillian. Oh my gosh, man. It is just so tiring. And then I listen to him and I listen to that clip and I think he doesn't hold anybody accountable.
Well, and this is my thing with this whole thing is take your feelings for Jaeger aside, right? He got the most out of that roster that you could get. And he even said that he had to, I don't even want to say dumb everything down, but he, in multiple clips, he, after practice, pregame, postgame, saying they're having to always go to the basics because he can't move on from that until they fully understand the basics, whether it be of schemes, offensively, defensively, like these things. So he did what he did to, at that point, to get the most out of the roster. The players didn't like how he handled them, right? Vladi went with the players, brought in his friend, without any other interviews. And then sold everybody that this was the guy that would take that same roster and get it to the next step. We are still seeing the same fundamental mistakes, game in and game out. Doesn't matter who we bring in at this point. The same players are making the same mistakes over and over. And you can't keep telling me they're young when their average playing age is like 26, 27 years old on their second contract. That is, I can live with those mistakes and that losing when you're dealing with guys on their rookie, right? Their rookie contracts. Those 19, are the guys that are supposed to be learning. Guys in their primes are not doing that, which is why Harrison Barnes is our most valuable asset at this point, which I don't even think that sending him out. We've talked about that's a whole thing. Is you send that guy out and it's it's going to be even more of a dumpster fire, which I know people are fine with because that the whole tank thing, that's I get it. But it's I don't necessarily think, again, that changing Luke solves it. Again, until you fix whatever the core players or the core issue, we've seen the same thing for 3 years. It's not going to work, and you got to move on. Now it's up to Monty to figure out the best way for that to happen. And we don't have the answers, right? Like, that's up to him. And unfortunately for Kings fans, all we keep hearing is this is such an unprecedented season and it's like nothing we've seen before. And of course, when we actually need to be able to clear house, it's during the time when it's you know, the craziest season that we've ever had. So I'm willing to wait until the off season, if that's what it takes for him to be able to make the moves he needs to make, just based on taking my emotion and everything out of it and just knowing that if the market's not where it's normally going to be because of everything, then you got to be able to give this new guy coming in a second to be able to untangle everything that was made, you know, to this point. Because we love to think that at the snap of our finger that you can, because we see it from other teams, you can trade here, you can trade here. If we're saying we don't want these guys to play on what, a 14 win team, why do we think that all these other teams are going to be throwing things at us to come get them and put them on their team?
Well, that was the thing too with me this offseason about Bogey. Like, why are you so quick to believe, oh, just re-sign him and figure it out later? Re-sign him and figure him out later. Don't lose him for anything.
That was our thing, right?
Yep. Dude. There's no way like it was going to happen. Like, I have to believe Monty McNair is doing everything. I have no clue. I'm just speaking as a casual observer. I have to believe Monty's doing everything he can to move Buddy Hield. But you talk about there being no market for the statistically worst starting two guard in the entire league. I don't know how you sell that. I don't know how the greatest salesperson on the planet sells that to another general manager. I just don't get it. Right. And that's as you're thinking about how the one guy who you could probably trade easily is the one guy I'm like, no, don't trade him. Like, you absolutely need Harrison Barnes to help you with, you know, Tyrese and De'Aaron and you know, whoever that the Sacramento Kings draft and acquire in this upcoming offseason. You need a 28, 29 year old around to help with that.
Right. And this is the difference between Barnes's market and Buddy's market. Barnes could literally go anywhere and he would be able to fit in and slot right in offensively, defensively be fine. Buddy, yes, he historically has been one of the best shooters in the league, right? Not this season, which doesn't help the Kings, but he has to go to a good team defensive team. Like, that's where he has to go because you have to be able to send him to a Denver or to a Philadelphia, right? Someone that needs shooting where they can still put him in and he's not going to kill you defensively. You have enough good players around you, right? That he's not going to take you down. You can send him to an Oklahoma City or a bad team. Maybe they Not necessarily someone that, right, and just let him score. But it's not going to move you, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going to see the same results that you're getting in Sacramento.
Yeah.
The and best thing wants for
that.
Him.
Like, nobody right, wants that.
That's the problem, right? That's the problem. Maybe a Warriors, he could probably fit in just based on their style of play. He's not going to help them defensively again. But that's why I think you keep hearing the Philadelphias of the world, the Denver, like those teams that where he will help them offensively, but he will not take down that team as a whole defensively.
But with Golden State, I like the idea of Golden State. I think he'd be held accountable there. And play. Yep. We can't duck the obvious. The kiss of death with Buddy isn't even necessarily how bad he is at this point. It's how much he's owed. That's the issue, is how many years are left on his deal. Like, that's the biggest problem. Shout out to Joe Davidson. If you're still watching, Joe was showing Jill some love for her ability to casually conversate in her frustration while still sipping her beverage there. So that's solid. Wait till she pours the wine. We start going back to post-game shows. She'll start pouring the wine. That'll be really good stuff. Here's a name that I don't like to talk about at the trade deadline, but we do have to be realistic about it. Like, what do you think Rashawn Holmes? What do you think is like Rashawn Holmes' future? Do you think he's with the Kings in a week and some change? Do you think he's back with the Kings next year? What is the value of Rashawn Holmes? Like, I have to imagine his agent is working incredibly aggressively this next couple of days trying to figure out, you know, what does it look like for us in this offseason around the league in a time where he's been able to, he's been really, really good, really, really consistent for the Kings. And he was a, you know, late in free agency signing when he signed here. And I have to imagine his value to has multiplied since then. But it is the Kings, so you can never tell.
Yeah. And as we keep saying, we don't really know with Monty or like, right, what his vision is.
Yeah.
If he's already made the decision that Holmes is not going to be here next year, I would hope that he would try at this point and get something for him, because I do think he could help a contending team. But again, as we see right now, some of the better bigs in the league, like right now you're seeing Drummond on the buyout market, that teams are signing these big men to smaller 2, maybe 3 year deals, not the huge money that you're necessarily seeing a couple years ago, or that they think they can grab them for a year, right? Hassan Whiteside has had how many contracts, and then that guy just went to the league minimum. Rashawn's still young. I want him to be here next year because I do like his fit with Fox, and let's say Harrison's still here. Like, I do like at least the three of them together. I like Halliburton with Holmes. I think he's very easily slottable with your core players. I just don't know how much they want to pay him or what his agent's asking for. I, at this point, it's really hard to tell with the landscape that it still is, what kind of contracts are going to be out there again as well, because we saw people predicting in the offseason what they thought were going to be that were not there or not at the prices they expected. People had Whiteside slotted to make over $10 million, and that guy got a league minimum. Like, you don't know.
You hear how Gracie's reacting, you talking about Whiteside making all that money. Like, whenever the conversation gets a little too much, Gracie, she lets you know how she feels. You know, that's the conversation.
I mean, it's not what people want to hear, but at this point, it's such a mystery that...
It's the conversation here in the chat. Like, my man Ramsey saying 3 years, $36 million. Is that Rashawn's value? I think Murph had him pegged at $15 million a year. Like, that's what I can't figure out, because I love him here, too. And I don't like to... I think he's my favorite Sacramento King. Like, I really do love watching him play. I love his energy. I really do love, you know, a lot of things about Rashawn Holmes. But... there's also like a detriment. Like one of the best places that I thought, like when I'm thinking about like where would Sean Holmes really fit, I realized the one that I kept going back to was a place he already played in Philly, because he doesn't have to be the big there, but he could still do, you know, work down there. And then I realized, okay, you're probably crowding the middle with Joel Embiid. So where does he work? And then I realized, well, if you go out east, you have to go against Joel Embiid. And like, that's not going to work. And I can't figure out, is he undersized for his position? And then that's is that ultimately a detriment to him on the market? And can he legitimately be your long-term five here?
Well, it depends on what we long term. I mean,
past this year. If it's two more years,
I would sign him for 2 to 3 more years.
Sure.
But I don't know if I would go 15. Like for a big man, I'm based on the conversation we've had, right, of the injuries and the things like that. He's even had the shoulder injuries, right? Because these guys are constantly getting nailed. I'm leery of paying big men that, and who knows? I don't know if this front office has made a decision on Bagley, right? Because that could end up impacting him too. Do they see him here long-term? Do they see him here as a 4 or a 5 long-term? That could affect where you end up going with Holmes down the line. There's just so many unknowns. And right with Monty, we had a press conference and we heard him on the Woj podcast. Like that's the extent of what we're getting from him. So,
and it's not like he was really dropping state secrets out there. Yeah. And you just look at last night, like he played 40 minutes last night, you know, 17 and 15 for Rashawn last night against Charlotte.
And for the way these guys are, again, I sound like a broken record, but the way those guys get hit, like that's hard to sustain. But he's also not a stretch. And so I don't know if that hurts his value when it comes to teams as well. When it comes to like that, depending on who has money going in, you know, and what they already have slotted in, if they're looking for a stretch five or if they're looking for just a physical, you know, big man, what I think that's going to play a role too in what he gets paid. Which is why you saw Deadman, right, get the huge contract and Holmes sign later down the line. That's what this front office thought that this team needed at the time. And so they paid the big physical guy, right, 2 years, $10 million, and the stretch, what was it, $40 million or something like that. Like that's – so I think that can end up playing a factor for these guys as well.
Can a coach help? Because this team is, I mean, they're pushing the boundaries of historically bad defensively. Could the right coach change this? Could the right coach make this a better defensive team? Because remember when the team was 3-1, I don't know if you're old enough to remember that, Jill. I know you just said it celebrated a birthday.
Hey, we were praising this team at the beginning of the year.
Like, oh my gosh, we were talking about
but they
effort.
Weren't playing anything like they're playing now.
We were all the effort on the defensive end. We were talking about everything that they were doing and communication and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, that's gone. So we're talking about effort. Is this team just not trying on the defensive end anymore? Are they not communicating anymore on the defensive end? Like, can a coach make a group of guys who either have, maybe it's not a group, maybe it's not all of them that don't have an interest in playing defense. Maybe it's the fact that it's a couple of them that are really, really bad at it, and it throws the groove of the entire team defense off. Can a coach with minimal roster change, can a coach come in and fix that? Or does it have to be massive roster change?
I don't know about fix, but I think you can make, you know, you can move the meter, right, one way or the other. I mean, look what we're seeing in Atlanta right now. That they're still dealing with injuries, but Nate McMillan has them playing.
Yeah.
But granted, that's also that team had, at least according to those articles, completely stopped listening to their coach, We're not hearing that here. Oh, well, so thank goodness
that hasn't happened here. Thank goodness.
This is also hard for us because we're not privy to any kind of practice. We're not privy to being at games, right? To what's being said. I am not privy to pre and post game chats. Like I would like to think the coaches are telling them all these things, and it's.
I love that you would like to think. Yeah, I'd like to think it too.
Just not being able to. But again, I'm hearing we've heard multiple coaches and multiple assistants at this point keep saying the same thing over and over with these same players. Yeah. And the only thing Jaeger did different was scream, run, right on the sideline. Like we saw that from him saying that we are literally, our goal is to just tire the other team out and score more points than them and hope by the end we have more legs than they do, which and led to the decline in the second half of the season. I think with, you know, putting a lot of that on those guys' bodies that didn't necessarily have that previously to be able to maybe to know how to handle that for a full season, or it's just not sustainable, right? Like that's just, and we've seen Luke say, we're going to work more on the half court stuff to, so that when we take those next steps and we're in the playoffs, you know, we're prepared to be able to handle that.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any of that happen. Like that's not. And so, I mean, as much as I'm not really a fan of Luke, and unless you're bringing in a true developmental coach, I don't necessarily think there's anything you can do. And then I don't even know if there's a developmental coach out there that will make a difference at this point in time and these guys' age and where they're at and their career.
You mean a developmental coach to join the staff or a developmental coach to actually be the head coach?
To actually be the head coach.
I gotcha. Okay. I'm looking at my man Ty Guy in here in the chat. We need Jason Jones to give us access to those Zoom press conferences. I'm on those Zoom press conferences, bro. There's nothing there. Like the accents that, you know, the stories that Jason Jones can normally write are the ones that he picks up on when he's at the arena and he's on the court an hour before the game, 90 minutes before the game, 2 hours before the game, or he catches something on the sideline that may not necessarily be on television or something that you can't pick up on television. All of those, you know, access points, they're gone. So, you know, the way that the way that this team is being covered, much like the way the entire league is being covered, it's a lot different now.
Right.
And I, you know, hopefully it goes back to normal next year. I'm not quite confident, you know, starting out in October that it's going to be completely back to normal, but hopefully there is some point where it's back to normal, because it kind of leaves us all guessing. Now, obviously Jason has a lot more people to call and a lot more people to connect with and contact with within the organization and outside of the organization, as do other reporters like James Hamm to write their stories. But still, we all have access to the same Zoom press conference. Nothing is happening on those. Most media outlets, Sean Cunningham is great for this when I'm able to miss him. He just posts them to the ABC YouTube page. You can see it. Like, you can literally see everything that happens in terms of media availability. Like, you can literally see all of it. And it's, you're not going to get any answers that way. You're going to get that stuff that we played. You're going to get this.
Tough loss. Proud of the guys.
That's what you get. Tough loss. Proud of the guys. Make free throws. Played well. Love Rashawn. Love De'Aaron.
Yeah. Difference, I will say the difference I think we're seeing in this year and last year, and this could be a Monty thing and maybe what he's telling Luke, depending on what kind of conversations they're having with other front offices or anything like this. But last year, we actually saw guys being benched, right? And we saw some switching of lineups to an extent of, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing that this year.
So that's interesting, because I think that brings up a question. Obviously, one of the major differences is Vlade's gone. And I'm of the belief Luke has been told, dude, you're good. Now, I don't know if he's been told you're good to the end of the year. I don't know if he's been good told, you know, we'll evaluate this at the end of the year. Sometimes I listen to him talk and I think,
tough loss. Proud of the guy.
Nothing to see here. Sometimes I think he's been told, dude, you're good for the next 3 years. Just kicking and hang out. You're going to be the coach of this team. But I feel like last year with Vlade by his side and him in his comfort level, knowing this is his first year with the team, I can play around. I can find the lineup. I can move Buddy. I could do all of these different stuff. I could bench Dwayne Dedman, who we just signed for, you know, God knows however much money, whatever it was, and put Rashawn Holmes in. And I can really kind of play around with this lineup and figure out what we're going to do. This year, even though I do believe he's been told, like, flat out, and I know, you know, there have been articles written, you know, Luke Walton's been led to believe. I feel like when I hear Luke Walton talk, he's been told flat out, dude, you're good. You're fine. You're coaching at bare minimum to the end of the season. We'll evaluate everything then. Sometimes, as I said, I feel like he's been told he's going to coach forever. But I feel like he's a little bit more gun shy because he's got a new boss now. And he's got to win games. Unless he's been told otherwise.
Unless Monty's telling him, like, keep these. Like, this is my thing, too. Is we've been told. This is one of the things that got Jaeger fired, right? He was very public in saying, I think Buddy Hield's best place is as a sixth man.
Yep.
We saw it then. We saw it last year when Luke finally made the move. We all think that it's been past time to make that move this year. I don't know if Monty is saying, keep it going. Keep him there because I don't even know if he would say we're trying to showcase. I don't know. But at some point it's not working and they have, and he keeps saying he's going to evaluate and we'll see if I make a change. He did it last year. I don't know why they wouldn't necessarily, especially when he's been having trouble. If that gets the guy out of the slump, try it.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point.
Well, he's gotten bailed out, too, on several occasions in that, remember, New York, the first New York game before that stretch of good basketball started for the Kings, he was asked, you know, are you going to make a change to the starting lineup? It was during one of Buddy's terrible stretches. And he was like, you know, we're not going to change anything before today's game, but, you know, we'll evaluate it later. Kings win that game. That very one game, Jill, they win one game against the New York Knicks. And he's asked immediately following the game, you know, you mentioned, you know, making some changes. Is that something you're going to look to do before the next game? Oh, no. Why would we do that? That's crazy. We just won the game. What would we make a change for? We just won. We're going to keep going. Same thing happened before Tyrese got hurt. He was asked about making changes. Again, a terrible stretch of basketball for Buddy Hield. And anytime anybody asked if he's making changes to the starting lineup, we're all talking about, everyone's asking about the same person. He's asking if he's going to take Buddy Hield out of the starting lineup. And then Tyrese gets hurt. And he's bailed out again. And so it's like he's never really had to make that decision because everybody is basically asking, are you going to put Tyrese Halliburton into the starting lineup for Buddy Hield? And now we've gotten to the point here in this season asking, is he going to put Tyrese Halliburton in the starting lineup with Marvin Bagley out? Is he going to put Corey Joseph into the starting lineup instead? Is he going to put Nemanja Bjelica, who's not even going to be on a freaking roster in a week and a half, in the starting lineup instead of putting in Tyrese Halliburton and starting small? And if he made the argument, well, you can't start small for this reason, I'd probably listen to that. But the problem is you don't have another big unless you're going to remove Hassan Whiteside from witness protection and start him out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, that could be another thing of why it would be hard to see Holmes move at this point too, because unless they're getting big back, because right. They literally have no bot. I mean, and that's, yeah, I don't know. Well, and now apparently the Heat and the Thunder are discussing a Trevor Ariza for a second round pick trade. I know that was one of the teams that we had heard interested in Belly. And I would assume it's the same. It'd be the same kind of deal, but
Kings legend Trevor Ariza.
Are they going to kick the tires on Ariza over Belly? And if they did that, I wouldn't necessarily blame them, but defensively, he would probably fit more their style.
I think Ariza is just trying to get on every team in the league before he retires. He's got to be close. Trevor Ariza has got to be close to having a jersey from every single team in the entire league. Getting some messages in here. Would like to see guy James Jeffries play more to see what we got. Yep, you're probably going to get that. I don't know about Daquan Jeffries. I have no idea why he's not playing, but you very well may be getting that here pretty soon.
We still have no idea what Justin James can do as a player. Like, he is still such a mystery. We saw it for a little bit last season when Ariza was out with his personal issues before they moved him, and we ended up getting Bazemore.
Does everybody on this roster have personal issues right before they wind up getting moved?
Yeah, he was already sick of it and like, get me out. I mean, he was calling
them
out.
Personal issues, a bad working environment.
I mean, what wasn't it preseason? He was already calling the guys out at practice. Like, what have you earned that you're half-assing it out here?
Boom.
He was already like, get me out. Yeah. I don't want to spend. I came here for Luke to play with my buddy, but I'm already done. Like, I don't even want to last.
Well, shame on Trevor Ariza for thinking, I'm going to come play with Luke Walton.
But when James got to play in that limited stretch of multiple games in a row, he wasn't horrible. But the thing is, we've never been able to see like a consistent.
Right. That's
a consistent stretch. Same with Jeffries, right? We saw a somewhat consistent stretch in the bubble and he played really well. We saw a couple good games when he got back from injury. And then all of a sudden he's getting do not play. So like, it's impossible to figure out what we have in these young guys that I hope in the second half of the season, if any of these guys are not included in any kind of trade, that we get to see him. Because to me, I can live with losing when these are the guys that you're throwing out there, right? Not the 27-year-olds that I know are not part of any kind of move going forward and are on the last year of their deals. So you weren't able to trade them for as an expiring. So sit them on the bench and let me see the young guys.
Yeah. That's the bar
right?
for this team.
That is the bar. Horrible. And that's the sad thing. That's the sad. Ball, I mean, 92. That's.
Thanks for that one. It is. It's frustrating, but you know, it's King season. So what would King season be? Without frustration. Did we miss anything that you want to go over? I know we've been gone for a little bit, a couple week or so. Did we miss anything? I feel like we
had a good one. Did anybody else have anything they wanted to vent about?
I was going to say, everybody, did we get it all
out of
our
chest?
Or
they want us to talk about?
Can I just look at these, you know, these texts are just so indicative. Like, what I'm afraid of, and you know, it's something that we've talked about the last couple of days, is, you know, we come here to do the podcast, whether we do it live or, you know, we post it to HoopBall or whatever, or we're here on ESPN 1320, and the audience is gone just because no one cares anymore. That's the part, that's the part that I know we're all passionate about this team, even when the passion is frustration, but I feel like after, you know, that first Charlotte game, it feels like just really cut the heart out of this team. I take that back. I feel like that first Charlotte game cut the heart out of the fan base. And it was like, dude, you've beaten us. It's like, you win. It was like the Mortal Kombat, finish him. And like, it was, you did it. Like, you finished us. You've killed us. Like, you've killed the fan base.
Like that. I want to know if the Jabari Parker hype was real. we got to see 2 minutes of it last night. 2 minutes.
That's where we are, people.
Although if Woodard can't go tomorrow, you might find out tomorrow. You might find out.
And you know what's really a bitch out of all of this is our man Metu.
Still hurt.
Dude, who would be?
He could do better playing with one hand in a cast out there and still.
Dude, and he would be getting some run right now just by default.
I'm trying to think what his timetable was
I feel like it was
where we're at now.
Was it 4 weeks? I feel like we're close. Wasn't he?
He might end up getting some run then if all healed well. I mean, I'm assuming they're still keeping up on his cardio since it's hand.
Yeah,
or
his hand,
wrist.
Legs can move.
But this is the thing, right? We're like, yes, two ways. Like, come on, woo! Like, we have $6 million players on the bench, and we're like, come on, two ways.
Yeah,
come on, Kyle Guy and Metu, save the day.
That's it. That's it. And I think we're even past save the day. It's just like, let's see these guys play. Like, let's see him play. Let's let him get him out there and run. I still don't understand why Jabari Parker has gotten virtually zero run this entire season, but. Whatever.
It's also why I'd like to see the team, depending on what kind of moves they make, if they still have the roster spots open, give me the 10-day contract deals on young players like Alize Johnson, who is leading the G League in rebounds and going through the Toronto's 905 Raptor system right now. Because the Kings are one of the, I think, the 24th rebounding team. Like, show me a guy who's going to come in here and rebound the ball. Like, give, if you're not going to play the guys that are sitting on the bench that you're paying millions of dollars to, then bring in some young guys on 10-day contracts and see what they can do.
We appreciate y'all hanging out with us, man, on the live stream on ESPN 1320's Twitter page, YouTube page, and Twitch page. We greatly appreciate that. If you're new to the channel, make sure you subscribe, follow, do all of that stuff, depending on the platform. We appreciate you hanging out. If you've never heard of the Kings Cast on the Hoopball Podcast Network, go check us out. Just search the Sacramento Kings Podcast, and you'll be able to find it, or search Hoopball, and you'll be able to find all of the podcasts over there. I'm sure you're all are already following Jill Adge. If you're not, you should be. It's at Jill Adge on Twitter. I'm at Damian Barling. You can check me out Monday through Friday. ESPN 1320, 12 to 4 on your radio.com app or here on Twitch, YouTube, or Periscope. Again, we appreciate y'all so much for being with us, and we'll see you next time here on the Kings Cast.